And we're back.
Black and a Half.
Episode 81 with
Silas Sonnenstein
and Manny Martin.
Here we are, smooth as ever. Coming into that landing. Here's a fun fact. I drove a pilot recently, an airplane pilot doing a lift ride.
Yeah.
I asked him about, because I had heard that airplane rides are like, I heard that they're like 90% of them, they're autopilot now. And that's what I had heard. And I asked him about that. And he said, absolutely not. He said, no, they do it like once a month when they have to.
Oh,
like
okay.
They're required to do it once a month. But otherwise, sure. No, they have to land them themselves. He said there's only like 3 airports in the United States that allow.
That's self-landing.
So most places they're not allowed to use it.
Dude, okay. So, well, that makes me more confident, but yeah, it's like,
well, I was like, someone had told me, oh no, that's whenever you feel a perfect landing, it's actually probably the autopilot. No, that's just somebody shitting on pilots, apparently, because they're actually doing it all the time.
You know what my problem is? So when I went to Morocco and Spain, every time we landed, everybody would clap. I was like, is this shit not normal here? I was like, do people not?
We made it. Yay.
Everybody would applaud. I was like, this shit is scary.
All right. Hey, this is a fun episode. We had Cassandra Moselle in today.
Yes.
She's an actor. Yep. She's a burlesque dancer, a producer. Produces everything. She's all over the place. She's one of our. Usually we have people coming on. They're like, yeah, I got a show coming up in September.
But yeah.
And you're like, that's 9 months away. She's got a lot going on. So enjoy this episode, like it, and then check out our links that we have on the page for it.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome going on. We have some fun times now. Okay. We talk about some old movies in here.
The and classic just movies.
Classic movies.
That everybody needs to see.
Yes. And the one we did mention one with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines, and we couldn't remember the name of it. I had to look it up. So it was Running Scared.
Yeah.
Fuck, so good.
So good. Just make sure you watch it. Buy the soundtrack.
Yes.
Or listen to it on whatever.
If you want, just as a heads up, just in case you want to get it on your queue while you're listening to this, maybe you don't have time. I know you're like, you just want to know what it's about, so you're listening to the bumper that we're doing right now.
Break it down.
Go watch Running Scared and Action Jackson, and then listen to the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Because those two, I'm going to go watch them tonight. I'm going to be in the other room screaming. My wife's going to be like, are you watching porn again? In the other room. I'm like, no, it's Action Jackson starring Carl Weathers and Vanity.
Yeah, and the legendary Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson.
A.K.A. Coach.
He was always a dick in these movies.
He really was.
It was like, I loved him from Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then like, he was a soft guy.
Wait a minute, you told her not to go into the light.
Then he'd be the crooked cop in something. I was like, my whole reality's shaken.
It's always so weird to see your favorite actors like go from good to bad guy. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
And especially like those 80s movies were always such like,
yeah.
They're heinously bad.
Oh, they're awful. Like, I mean, I remember.
And it calls. And Darky. Like, so calls him something. And you're like, whoa! He's racist.
It's so crazy, too. Yeah.
I used to think people were racist when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I thought actors were racist if they said the N-word.
Yeah. And so my friend's dad used to think if somebody got murdered in a movie, that they really got killed in real life and that they had to send the family flowers. Like, after they were done.
I did have to explain to my daughter a lot that, like, there was a point when she was really young that I was like, you know this is not real, right?
Yeah.
Like, she was like, what? So there's no, that didn't really happen. And I'm like, no, it did not happen. And I was upset because I was like, you just watched Star Wars.
Yeah.
And like, she wasn't sure.
Right. Like, people like, can't really jump that high. People can't swing lightsabers. Like,
I'm like, I can, but these, these people, no, they're white. You can't do that.
Oh my God.
All right. Hey, big thanks to our supporters, first of all. Big thanks to our Patreon supporters.
Yeah.
To our Patreon supporter. Stefan Ward. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you for supporting us. Number one there. If you want to support this show for low, starting at $5 to $8. You know what? I just saw like an old friend of ours, old comedian, they have a podcast. They have supporters. They have 485 supporters. And I was looking at their minimums. I was like, they do pretty well with this podcast.
No shit.
So we could do that too. Those of you listening.
There you go.
Just go there and say, you know what? I enjoyed enough that, you know what? This is even cheaper than a than a venti latte.
There you go.
I'm going to do that for, you know, one venti latte a month to support Black and a Half.
There you go.
And all these artists in Seattle that come on to promote themselves. Do. Yeah. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/Black and a Half.
There you go.
Black and a Half.
Yeah. Not back.
Not Back and a Half. That's a completely different website. It's and clear that from your browser, by the way. And also another thanks to a sponsor of this program. Oh, me, Silas Lindenstein. Please, if you're interested in buying or selling a home, please go to Silas Gets Real. If you're in the Seattle area, and also possibly listening to the other podcast I do about buying a home,
yeah,
called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein at www.yourebuyingahome.com. Nobody ever says the www anymore, and I'm going to bring it back. Bring it back.
World Wide Web.
Well, yeah. You can find it on the World Wide Web. It is, the address is http://:// or the colons then /// one of those two. Anyway, yeah. http://www. Is that lowercase? Is it lowercase? No, it's all, it's not. It doesn't matter anymore. There was a time it did matter.
Did it?
That you had to tell people. It's an uppercase H, lowercase, then an uppercase S, then, I don't know. I shouldn't have registered it like that, but I did. I remember telling a guy, email does not matter. Yeah. Like he was telling me, okay, my name is Derek. That's capital D.
Right.
A-V-E. Capital L, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter for email, right? Like, it's on the phone. Like, it doesn't? No, it doesn't. No, just say the rest like a normal person, David.
The best.
Dave L.
DFL.
At Hotmail. So that's there. Oh, and also, hey, for those of you listen, if you're very excited, you know, if you enjoyed us doing the 48-hour film project, I got exciting news. I got asked to host awards night for the Seattle 48-hour Film Fest.
Boom.
Yeah. The awards night for the horror one.
The horror.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I don't think I said that.
I think you did.
48-hour horror film fest. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever the project is.
48-hour horror.
Yeah. Anyway, November 7th, they do the awards, so you can come just to that one. Then you can miss all the shitty ones, right? You don't have to watch all the horrible ones. You get to see the audience favorites and then the ones that got awards.
There you go.
I'm going to give them out and I'll be hosting it. I think it's the order is you do the awards for this 48-hour,
mm-hmm.
then the Golden Globes.
Okay. Yep. That's
and
what I heard.
Then Oscars. Yeah. So yeah. I'll probably be hosting the Oscars about 2023, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to talk to my
remember me.
I got to talk to my management.
Yeah. Our
team.
Agents. Yeah.
Yeah. Her name is Gretchen. You.
Yep.
And Willow. Well, they'll be deciding.
Willow's the tougher one to deal with.
Yes.
But, you know.
That's it. Today's episode is brought to you by Dracula.
Oh.
Dracula. Sucking that blood.
There you go.
Since 1423.
Leaving holes in people.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're here because Halloween is tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there you go.
You know, if you're listening to this when it comes out, because you're a subscriber.
Yeah.
And if you're not, maybe you should be. So go to, iTunes and subscribe.
There you go.
Or just go to our website, blackandhalf.com, hit subscribe, and it'll give you all the different choices of the different platforms you listen to.
Make it easy on yourself.
Yeah. And then you get it right away. Yep. So, you know, so happy Halloween to everybody.
Happy Halloween. Be safe. Watch out for the razors and the candy.
Yeah. Which is a total myth. Yeah. But, don't give out raisins.
Yeah.
Don't be that.
Yeah, don't be that person. Yeah.
You can give out the pirate booty.
Don't. Yeah.
Those little bags of pirate booty.
But don't give out like apples. Don't be that person with the healthy. Don't give out toothbrushes.
Well, you better not be giving out apples. Need something wrapped.
My dentist used to give out toothbrushes. I was like, you're just evil.
If that's the only thing you're giving at the house.
That's kind of a dick move.
I've heard that some people give out toys, though. Like little toys. Cool. Like, hey, a rubber ball.
If you're a millionaire, what would you do? What would be your gift? If you were a multimillionaire, what would you give?
There'd
be
a gate at the fucking door and tell them to go beg somewhere else, you little vagrants.
My butler would be handing out.
I would decorate. I mean, yeah. I used to do that, decorate a lot, but I'm not.
Would you give out the big bars?
Yeah, I might.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a millionaire where I live, right? Yeah. Just be the secret millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
just give away all kind of like random shit.
Cassandra, I know, I'll have you jump in here in the intro. What would you give? What's the candy of choice that you would give away at Halloween? Ooh. Or do you know?
No, I.
You don't give away candy?
Well, no, because nobody comes to condos and rings the buzzer. It's just houses. So.
That's sad.
Yeah. I'd give away Kit Kats.
Kit Kats?
Those are mine. Kit Kats are mine.
Yeah.
Japanese Kit Kats?
The fuck is a Japanese Kit
Kat? Oh my God, Manny.
All right. Well.
Oh my God. I'm about to blow your mind later. Japanese Kit Kats are the most amazing thing. John Reviewer, you got to check him out. He's got access to a whole 8,000 flavors of Kit Kat. They are the most wonderful thing.
Wafers.
Get us a gig in Japan so we can go.
We were supposed to have a gig in Japan.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I gotta get on that. Okay. And if you're in Japan listening,
yes,
we're available.
We are.
We're available. We'll come for the comedy. We'll stay for the Kit Kats.
There you go.
Stay for the Kit Kats. My favorite candy bar is Baby Ruth.
Okay.
So I'd probably give out a lot of
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm with you. That was my favorite growing up as a little kid.
I did not.
Are you guys serial killers?
I never I never ate them for the longest time. I thought they were looked disgusting or whatever. I think they were always like the, that was the floater in the Caddyshack, or whatever. And so I never wanted one. I literally never had one until about 8 years ago.
Wow.
And I had this and I was like,
game changer.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God, where has this been?
Okay.
I gained 8 pounds just on Baby Ruth. I can't, I will not give them out right now, actually, at Halloween because
you keep it for yourself?
Until I have enough kids coming to take all the candy.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm going to eat those because even though I'm like, oh, no, no. Oh, we'll give them everything. And then I'm like, well, let's, we'll do the M&Ms first, all right? We'll do the M&Ms. Then we'll work on. I love a classic M&M, though.
There you go.
Sometimes that's good. All right. Anyway. Here it is, episode number 81, Cassandra Moselle.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive. Live long. Live long.
And prosper. And prosper. And prosper. And prosper. And prosper.
See Action Jackson? Action Jackson?
Yeah.
Action Jackson. I watched that like 300 times. I'm not kidding. We had HBO at home. I would see that. That would play on HBO. Oh, yeah. I would come home after school. That thing was on HBO for like Carl a Weathers, year or two. I thought he was the most badass person ever.
He kind of was. I mean, he was Apollo Creed also, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's the most
Carl Weathers, right?
Yeah. It wasn't a good film, right?
It was a horrible film. No, have you ever seen Action Jackson?
No, I haven't.
It's like far too young. Yeah, yeah. Far too young.
And it's also like one of those black, like, I don't know if it's an exploitation.
No. But I want to watch it again.
We should. We should have like a black and a half viewing party where like, so this, it was the craziest movie. Like I remember at one point somebody drove a Ferrari up some stairs in a house.
Oh, that was that one?
Yeah, I think so.
All those films. It was a cop film. It was Carl Weathers, but it wasn't a buddy comedy, there was a period. What was this? Had to be the 80s.
It'd be 80s, like
they really leaned in on this is a black actor, right? So they would always make this joke, like someone would call him Midnight or something, you know, like, oh, you know, black person's in charge. I don't know, like, well, a new black person, the detective.
Was he before Axel Foley, or was he?
Wait, Axel Foley.
Beverly Hills.
I think so.
I think he was. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But like during that period, there was a. Not Midnight Run. Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines.
Yeah.
Do you know who Gregory Hines is? This is black ballet dancer.
Yeah, like tap dancer also. And yeah, like,
and then he suddenly started doing movies.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Him and Billy Crystal. So I can't even remember what the name of the movie was, but it had the best soundtrack. It had that.
It had a great soundtrack.
You remember that? It was the Michael McDonald song where it was like, sure. sweet, sweet free. Shine the light on me.
Okay, if you need anyone listening now needs to go on Amazon Prime and download those two movies.
Oh my, yeah, and I'm also, gonna
look.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Before, we'll put it in the link.
But yeah, I'll put it in the intro. Yeah, when it's like the movie we talk about. I got to look that up because Billy Crystal did a whole lot of movies that were not comedies. Do you know Billy Crystal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like he did all these action movies that back then comics could do whatever.
Sometimes he was kind of like a weird sex icon at one point. Like women actually liked him.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't. What was the.
Oh, that's back. People used to not be so into looks.
Yeah.
You can tell them. Like the people who can be leading men and women now are way like
everybody's
the
like,
lines are. Well, I think Esther's starting to let now it's starting to change a little bit now.
I feel like Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's more inclusive. The game a little bit.
Men used to be so ugly.
You think? So? Yeah. Oh,
like you can never. I mean, it was. Well, back in the day. Okay. Super. Here's the thing. Like Margaret Kidder, Margot Kidder, right?
Oh,
Superman.
Yeah.
Normal looking person.
I never thought she did. You know who Margot Kidder is? She played Lois Lane.
I am terrible with names. Oh, you gotta show me a picture and I'm right there
with
you.
It's not like she actually has done anything since 1983.
She's dead.
She just did that movie Matt's Chance with our buddies that were on here. Eddie Z. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So R. just
R. Margot Kidder.
Well, she died in the last 7 years.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely 7 years.
It was like 3 years. No, Jane Fonda would never in her youth. I mean, I think she was a pretty woman, but she would not be booked in the leading roles now that she was.
That's
that she
true.
Is. Like you used to be able to be normal looking and all these actors were normal. They were just good actors. Now, do they care if you're a good actor?
Okay. Yeah, no, she was pretty. I remember her differently. Okay. So this is what Margot Kidder looked like.
Well, that's a glammed out
photo.
That's
a glammed out photo.
She's normal looking. That's more Margot Kidder. Okay.
So she, okay, for those of you who can't see.
You just always have to be good actors.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that's how I remember her.
No, that's not how I remember her.
No, okay, maybe not. Poltergeist? Is that what you're going to say?
What?
I thought you were going to say something.
Poltergeist? She
was going to say
that.
The mom for Poltergeist. I was like, that wasn't her, but
no.
Yeah, okay.
No, they were all normal. Everyone was normal.
People were normal.
Everyone was normal. Then everyone had to be a hottie.
Yeah.
And now we're back to, everyone still has to be a hottie to be on a lot of these shows. But I do. But then we have.
Can you guys name like an ugly actor right now or an actress?
Manny Martin.
Well, I mean, besides me, I'm beautifully challenged.
No. Well, that's mean. It just seems like a mean thing to do right now. I'm going to say, there's an ugly actor. That one right there.
I'm trying to think.
What? Seth?
Seth what?
Or Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis, he's not.
Well, here's the thing. If you start off as a comedian, you do not have to be good looking at
true.
All. True. Right?
True. Yeah, yeah.
And then you do keto. To lose all the weight.
Yeah, that's true.
So you get something and you have to lose it.
I mean, even what's his name? Chris Pratt. He was like, he was always kind of a decent looking dude, but he was just a frat guy. And then he got in shape because of Guardians. And
that's true. Like, yeah. What did you, ever watch Star Trek? Like Next Gen?
I've only just gotten back into it because somebody has sat me down and has made me watch like the first season of
this is like one of the newest
Next
ones?
Next Gen. No,
oh,
it's
okay.
The older one.
Oh, there you
I think,
go.
Yeah.
That's the only
Next
one that matters.
Jean-Luc Picard?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only thing I've seen. I'm like
so
19
Riker.
Episodes in.
Oh, nice. Okay.
This is an era. That's a great era where things started changing. Like, people do the reverse now, right? You get on keto because you're like, oh, I'm not in shape. I gotta be good looking for these superhero films. Mm-hmm. William Riker, like that whole cast, actually, they were all starving actors, you know, and they're all like, I mean, they're all military, but they're all thin, but none of them are muscular, really.
Right.
Like Worf, who's supposed to be a warrior, right?
Yeah.
But then as time goes on, you could see, oh, they can afford dinners now. Like, they start getting a little bigger, like, but some of them, like Worf gets a little muscular.
Okay.
He's like clearly working out. He's getting into his role. I am not making fun of him nor making this up.
LeVar?
William Riker
starts
wearing a girdle in about season 5.
Wow.
Because he's gained so much weight.
Yeah. From
and they're
success.
Like, dude, you can't, you're supposed to be a commanding officer in the military. You can't. Yeah. You can see it sometimes in it. in some shots.
What?
He had to put a girdle on.
Wow.
And that's actually why he wanted to get into directing.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want to have the pressure of it
all.
Well, and also because he had a bad back, so we couldn't even like
really work out.
That's the problem. Once you're making money and you're eating right, if you can't afford, you know.
True.
You know, it was easier to keep the weight off of his back while he was.
Dude, it is ridiculous. I mean, you think about how hard it is to like stay in shape normally. And then you have, say, for instance, Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker. How much weight did he lose? Like, he just transformed. Christian Bale in what was the movie where he went crazy skinny?
Is that The Mechanist?
I think it was, yeah.
Was that another one?
No, I think it was one of those. But he, like, you could see all of his ribs, and then all of a sudden he's like Batman, like, the next, like, couple months.
It's not healthy.
Not healthy at all. Like, you can give yourself diseases that way, right? Like, you give yourself diabetes.
Can you get diabetes?
Mm-hmm. By gaining that much weight. And like,
I know it's hard on your body. I just didn't know if it's hard on just organs.
Yeah, I'm not going to like put him on blast, but there's a comic out there who gave himself diabetes by gaining too much weight. You know, like.
Really?
Yeah. That we know.
That we know? Oh, mm-hmm. That's my fear that was going to be me.
Yeah.
You may not know, I've been on a recent 30-day, Whole 30. I just did this diet where I couldn't eat grains or
you should have seen the post. They were like, it was like sad, like my guy was putting like, it was like the most healthy like dinner on the plate. It was like, we'll say like beets, lettuce, and a bunch of like, you know, healthy stuff, and then he's like lasagna and da da da, you know what I mean? Like, oh my god,
it's all about imagination, right?
Exactly.
It's like, if I think this is lasagna, it's lasagna. So have you been on a TV hiatus?
Yes, more or less. I haven't been able to watch a lot of anything recently. I was on the road for a long time traveling. I mean, like 5 years. Mm. So I like.
Well, just doing burlesque or doing.
Yeah, part of it was. So I did an MFA over in Italy.
Sweet.
So I did lots of shows. I was doing commedia in the streets in Italian. I was like, it's nuts.
Wow. Wait, MFA in acting or just burlesque?
Physical theater.
Physical theater. Yeah. Oh,
Commedia dell'arte, yeah.
Commedia dell'arte. Yeah, hey.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It's not a pasta dish.
Sounds amazing.
It's not a pasta dish. It's just a. I'm going to do that when I go over next time. Would you like to eat? I want some of that Commedia dell'arte. A whole plate full.
Have you been to Italy? You've been to Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about
it. Yeah, I asked for you to bring me some oil.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, did I bring it back?
From Greece.
Okay.
But not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was close. Like, he remembered. He remembered
minute.
Like, yeah. Oh, shoot, I was supposed to get something.
Yeah.
He's like, it's fucking oil. Whatever. We won't notice.
Same thing. Whatever.
How did that come about? How'd you get into, what made you say like, oh, I want to go study abroad doing that?
The short answer is that I studied an Italian painter, Artemisia Gentileschi, in 10th grade, and I decided I want to go see their work.
Heck yeah.
A painting of theirs from Museo di Capodimonte out of Naples is at the Seattle Art Museum right now. It just opened, and I'm like, I saw it in Naples, and I'm ready to see it here.
Nice.
Wow.
So, super excited. Coming right back around, it's like followed me back home. But because of that, when I transferred to the UW as a running start student, so I had to take a year of a language. So I'm like, well, as long as I have to start over because my 2.5 years of Spanish didn't count anymore, I just was like, well, I guess I'll start with Italian. And I took it for the year. I ended up going over there. And then Seattle and Perugia are sister cities. So there's a scholarship available for people to send you over there to go to school for a month. So they pay for, they give you a housing stipend. They pay for the classes at the uni. And so I got it several years ago, a while ago.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was on the servers and I was kind of thinking, you know, do I want to go back to school? I just got my BA several years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I? And so I was searching on an IT server, and that's how I found the school, because I was just in the in Umbria next to Tuscany, and so I was able to find the school really easily.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I looked at the program, and I'm like, you know, I think I could live here for a little longer. I think I like it. I think, you know, I think I'm ready to come back. And, you know, sure enough, I applied the next year. I got in, and I moved away 2013.
Crazy. So
that's was it awesome. A 3-year MFA program?
Two and a half.
Two and a half?
Yeah. Wow. And then I stayed on for another year or so because I still had a valid resident, permesso di soggiorno, the resident card. So I just stayed there and just kept working, performing, hanging out.
Wow.
So are you fluent in Italian?
I would not say I'm affluent. I would say that I can pay some bills in Italian. I know the system really well. I can get around.
That's awesome.
But, I'm not going to have any in-depth hypothetical conversations with you at a, very educated level.
Right.
So what's your favorite places to go in Italy?
So I will say my first apartment ever in the history of ever was in Rome across the street from the Colosseum.
God, no joke. Wow.
Serious. So Rome, while crazy for most, I've taken a lot of people there. They're like, it is so hectic. But I'm like,
really?
But it's home.
It's so funny. It didn't seem so hectic to me. I mean, it was just a chill. What? But it might have gone during the wrong time.
Yeah, it's like New York.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as crowded. We sat outside, ate pizza. And
what time of year was it you went?
This must have been, I feel like, no, it couldn't have been summer.
Wait, was it an anniversary trip?
Yeah, it was one of those. So I guess August.
Yeah. So do you know when your anniversary is?
Yeah, August. Okay, August 21st.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it must have been, I think everybody was on.
They were on holiday.
Holiday.
Then.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody
still
was on.
It's still a pretty bustling city. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Commedia dell'Arte. For Manny, can you explain what Commedia dell'Arte is?
Sure.
Because obviously I know because I'm a theater major.
Yeah, that was like stand-up comedy.
But other people know.
So in Italy, you have some stock characters, essentially. Popular ones that have kind of Punch and Judy are kind of come down or inspired by that. So you have the ruling class, your merchant and the doctor, for instance. And they always typically have children, right? So, but the children normally fall in love at some point in the story, but then there's the servant class, essentially like the Arlecchino, the Colombina, and essentially all of the plays are each of the different people trying to get what they want.
Oh, okay.
But everybody has a different goal, essentially. So for us, what we were doing is there was a little about 12 of us, more or less, and so we all had to study each of the different stock characters, how they move, what motivate, all of that stuff, because they all have very specific worldview wants, more or less. More or less. Mm-hmm. Some of them, that's not exactly true. And then we'd go in and just start playing with the characters and creating, lotsies, little moments of, sketches, more or less. And so you'd build a bunch of different sketches together. So it's okay, if somebody sits here, then we know that we're about ready to go into this.
Ah, right? Gotcha. Okay.
So it's sort of taking the rehearsal time of building short sketches in order to create an overarching long-term show, like a full-length show, more or less. More or less.
How long are the shows typically?
Varies. I will say varies. I think the most popular one that people know that's committed to paper is The Servant of Two Masters.
Okay.
I love that play. My favorite though
is a long one, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
It's like a two and a half hour.
It's super long.
Wow. I've seen it. Yeah.
We found that 2.5 hour plays out on a street corner, we're not going to get people sitting there for 2.5 hours in a piazza in the middle of the day.
Right.
So we really condensed our stuff down to what we thought would probably work in a square with zero audience incentive to stand there.
Nice.
That's really cool. Did you wear the masks?
Oh, yeah. And I still have all of them, too.
It was a big Italian mask that you wear to indicate, so people, you walk on stage and people know that, that's the merchant.
Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like I'm seeing the mask with the long nose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's part of it. We all had to learn how to make them.
Oh, okay.
So I have the ones that I made, and then I purchased several of them in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Venice periodically and I just keep picking up new masks, so I have this whole Italian mask collection.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
That I just have in my back pocket. And I'm like, oh, anybody, you're doing Commedia, great, I got all the masks, which character you need, ready to go at any time.
That's awesome. So is Venice still sinking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, true
yeah.
story.
Yeah.
Went there right around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And I was walking across tables because the sidewalks were flooded out.
Ooh,
like crap. You are in waiters
mm-hmm.
or you are on a table. Either way, you're still getting wet.
Dang. Right.
But yeah, it's nuts. Like whole areas are just washed out.
So we're expecting it to be gone wet. And then, well, that sucks.
Let's, oceans rise.
Yeah. Right? Especially with global warming.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. So then you did that and then you came back yeah. and then. Where did burlesque come out of the Commedia dell'arte, or did you do that in Italy, or
no? I'm coming up on 10 years with burlesque, actually.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I hit my 10 year in February.
I'll congrats! That's awesome.
Decade.
Yeah, and congrats on not aging, because I'm thinking like 10 years. What was it legal when you started?
Wow. I'll date myself. I graduated the UW right when the economy collapsed in 2008.
Okay.
So there was nothing for no one. And there especially wasn't anything for somebody who had zero life experience.
Right, right, right.
I had nothing. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. you know, fresh out of school, I'm like, I'm sorry, what's your question? Let me just look it up real quick because that's all I know how to do. So I had a BA in drama and I also have a BA in women's studies. And so I spent a lot of time looking at women in theater, like all sorts of stuff in that sort of genre.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do now that I have, you know, just out of school here, don't know what to do, have all sorts of debt. I'm like, okay, well, how am I supposed to proceed on in my life?
Right.
And, you know, as I'm sitting around and trying to figure out my life, I see an advertisement for a burlesque school here. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything right now. Like I have lots of free time, $0. And the school happened to have a scholarship for people sort of kind of in my situation. So I wrote them and I was like, hello, I see you have a scholarship. I see you do this program. Would you what's the application process? Mm-hmm. So they sent it to me. I filled it out. And then I think I did that maybe in the following fall. And then I started February 2010.
Wow.
That's when I like my first performance ever.
Nice.
So
okay.
That was at Miss Indigo Blues Academy of Burlesque.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I've heard of her. I've heard of her.
Never heard of her.
You should take it.
I will.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do some manlesque.
There you go. Have some, I don't know. I feel like I could. I'm not a good dancer. I'm an okay dancer. But. I don't know.
I saw you dance at my wedding.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, all right.
You did fine.
Yeah. I feel like you were more coordinated.
Well, it was my wedding.
Yeah, but you also have taken multiple dance classes.
Yeah, and I taught dance.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I taught ballroom dance.
There you go. So
that's my current goal.
I feel like you would
teach
that's
my weight loss goal, to look like I actually taught ballroom dance. I used to teach dance, and they give me the eye. I was like, I was in a few car accidents, so that's... And then you started producing then? Like how long did it take till you were like, okay, I'm going to produce now?
Like less than 12 months.
Really?
It was, it was really sort of a quick turnaround.
Are you just a go-getter? Is that your kind of thing? Like you're the one like, okay, fine, I'll direct this thing or I'll.
100%.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
That is me to a T. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was similar in that way. So mm-hmm. I was like, well, I'm going to make my own opportunities. It's not going to just sit around and wait for
you've
people.
You've already been. You've always been more of a go-getter. I'm just like, it'll follow my lap eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, man.
Even his wife.
Yeah.
I was like,
I don't have to go out there.
She just showed up.
She did. She gave me her number. I was like, all right.
Okay, so you don't have, I mean, with all that, are you able to watch TV? Like, I mean, do you even have time? You have a huge schedule.
Yeah.
I was looking at that.
So I have made time for one show currently.
Yeah.
And I have so far seen, it just started this year, and I've seen every episode of All Rise.
What?
Okay. What's that about?
What is it?
I feel like I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And say it again.
All Rise.
All Rise.
Okay. And what channel is it on? Or is it Netflix or is it
DVR?
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I don't have any idea.
We don't need to know when shows are.
Yeah.
It's actually the worst thing about right now is because I don't know if new show starts.
Right.
and I have a new DVR. Like when I moved, I switched DVRs. Yeah. And so then I was like, it wasn't recording shows I found that have been going on. And I'm like, what? So I had to CBS All Access to start catching up on Survivor.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So All Rise, what's it about?
In a nutshell, it's a courtroom drama and a female judge, and she's black. So you have a gender politics, you have race politics, and it all takes place sort of in this, you know, TV drama each week. And the judge has just been promoted into this position out of being a lawyer. Mm. So it's they're finding their own footing as a judge, how they hold their court, you know, what they're doing when they're talking about cases, and just it's just been really interesting. So
okay. I used to watch a white version of that called
Judge Judy.
Amy. Something Amy. Judge and Amy. Something like that. It was like she was a new judge.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I like that. With
Della Reese. There you
was
go.
In that. Yeah.
Della Reese. I'll shoot your pinky toe off.
She's watching that. What are you watching now? What are you watching?
Oh, anything, man. Anything so, here? Let's see. I actually just watched Flash for the first time in like years.
You've been hating on it.
I've been hating on it. It wasn't too bad. They're at a crisis.
Were you not lost?
Well, I was super lost. I was just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's
Who's that? Who's that? I was like,
Killer Frost. Who? What?
And if anyone doesn't know, that they're this year they're doing the Crisis crossover event.
Yeah, on Infinite Earth.
On Infinite Crisis, Crisis on Infinite Earth is supposed. So everyone knows it's no spoiler that it's going to happen. So they're gonna.
But like,
what I love is that they're going to be bringing. Hopefully, rumors have it like all these different people who've played
Superman in the past. So it's got like Batman. Brandon Routh from like the Superman movie. They've got the Tom Welling from the whatchamacallit, Smallville. Yeah, so.
Like they might just show up for like a quick like hi, you know, who knows? But like. I just don't even know how they get all the money to get all these people to show up. But
you know, you think about it, it's like if you're sitting at home doing nothing like, and they're like, hey, you want to put back on the Superman suit? I'm like, yeah, like I'll do that for like $10.
Like, I got to work out.
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to do a whole 30.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Or they come out like, can I be chubby Superman? Because Superman hasn't been working out.
Trying to smoke a cigarette.
Got the kryptonite. Got that yellow kryptonite. It's just hard to lose the power.
The other one was the show that you told me to watch.
Oh, my God. The Watchmen?
Have you ever heard of Watchmen? Okay, no. So there was a movie. They're DC characters. But go ahead.
I've heard the name.
You saw the movie, right?
No.
You never saw the
I never saw the movie. Watch I just the wasn't. Movie. Is it related at all?
I think in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it is The Watchmen.
Right.
And that's what the Rorschach mask. Basically, I don't want to ruin it for you, but.
Right. Don't ruin it for you. Okay.
Yeah, watch it.
So the show, it's very, I don't know what's going on in it. It's a different universe because different outcomes happened. I don't know when everything changes in it, but.
I mean, literally the kids are singing a song at a table at one point and they're like singing about the presidents. They're like, Nixon, Reagan, President Redford, and just like, what the fuck are they talking about? You know what I mean? But it's like,
did they do that in the first episode?
Oh, I missed that. Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch this.
So much stuff was happening. I got the sense that it was like almost like a reversed black for a while. Like there were so many black people in it. I was like, wait, did black people like win something?
Well,
is this what it seemed like
in the movie? Not to ruin it for you, but like, it's like an alternate like 80s kind of thing. It's not like. Just Nixon didn't get impeached, so he's still the president.
Oh, okay.
So there's
seemed like some things must have happened in this world that didn't happen. But what they did, this was fascinating. The way they opened up Watchmen, and I mean, this is only a mild spoiler just for the first 5 minutes.
And it was based
on
true.
Yeah, this is based on a true event. Have you ever heard of the Massacre of Tulsa? This is a big thing. A lot of people, particularly... A lot of white folks are talking about this online that they had no idea this was an event. In 1921, there was a riot / massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What was basically considered the Black Wall Street of the country. Greenwood District in Tulsa. Prominent black businessmen. residences, everything. There was a rumor of a lynching that was going to happen because somebody was accused of touching a white woman elevator operator. And so this guy got taken into custody. Nobody thinks he really did it. And there was some, a big group of black men showed up to like defend him. And there's a big group of white guys there to like wanted to hang him. And shots went off. And then it proceeded to a burning of the Greenwood district of Tulsa. They only recorded 30 black deaths, but according to the Red Cross, thinks there were between 100 and 500 like black people Crazy. Shot and murdered. Burnt all the businesses were firebombed. Like yeah, they used like planes, cocktails, planes to shoot them down, yeah. like to get it. So these black, this whole black town was like 10,000 people were left homeless at the end of this. Like obliterated the district, and it was nearly wiped off the history books. Nobody talks about it. And it's happened a few times in history mm-hmm. that these black districts and towns were wiped out. And so when they talk about, well, slavery ended so long ago, you got to pull yourself by the bootstraps. They did. Like yeah. all in all these towns, they all did that. They got big, mm-hmm. you know, they became rich. There was like rich black men then, and they would take everything they had or destroy it.
It's crazy.
And it's like, well, we keep trying, but yeah. every time we do, y'all burn it up.
Yeah.
It's a crazy event. So it starts off with this.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody. Like there was, I'll tell you off air, okay. but there was a
oh, okay.
break my heart shot in that.
In the first scene?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
That I was like, I didn't know if I could watch the rest of it after this little moment
yeah.
that I caught. But things happened so quick in it. And then the rest of, who's the woman? Is it Regina? Is that her
Regina
name?
Regina Hall.
Regina
from,
Hall?
Was she from 227? Or what was
that? Was that her?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Was that her? I just
and
I
she
remember,
just won a like an Oscar or yes. an Academy Award.
Well, so. Yeah, and she was also Cuba Gooding Jr.'s wife in, and Jerry Maguire.
That's
yeah,
right. Yeah,
I always remember her from that.
You know what's so funny?
She kicks ass in the like beats the hell out of people. Yeah. She's like a kind of a cop kind of thing. Oh my gosh, she's so fierce.
I love to
it.
See these actresses and actors that are just so persistent with their career, and then they keep getting these like little role, then big role, and then I'm like, oh, you just never go away. And you like, I mean, she's a great actress.
I forgot about the Academy Award because I was just thinking, I was like, is this her breakout? But I was like, well, she got an Academy Award. That
but
was
I mean,
breakout.
it wouldn't be bad if she got another one.
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
Let's get an Emmy for this. I mean, she's fierce. And actually, that was the one thing I liked about Gemini Man.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen it yet.
I loved in Gemini Man, the new Will Smith movie, that
go see it this
the
weekend.
Female lead in that supporting character, I guess.
Yeah.
Should be female lead in it. She was who's a operative, like a CIA kind of operative. She kicked ass too.
Nice.
She never got the help of Will Smith in the movie.
That's cool.
Like she beat everybody up on her own. Like,
yeah.
And I love that they're making these female action stars that are not like getting rescued.
Well, I don't know if you really remember this, and we've talked about it before, but it was such a cool thing for me, especially with Star Wars Episode 7, where Rey and Finn are running, and Finn keeps trying to like grab her by the hand.
Yeah,
she's like,
that was a funny.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. Just keeps repeatedly, and then you know she ends up being the more powerful one. But on that note, a little bit of nerd news. Should we go to?
Huh? Well, we didn't finish what I'm watching.
Well, okay.
I'm just gonna
okay,
skip
yeah,
over
yeah, no,
my,
no, no, no.
Like,
no.
You know what Manny
yeah,
wants.
Well,
so
you know,
let's screw the rest
yeah.
of it.
What are
all
you
right,
watching?
Well, Watchmen too, but Mixed-ish.
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 Oh, did that apply? Did that huh? that it appeared?
It's airing.
Oh, it's airing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're like five episodes.
Like your life story.
My life story. Have you heard, Mixed-ish, have you heard about it?
I've heard about it. No, okay. Nothing, though.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Saved by the Bell back in the day?
I was a little too young for Saved by the Bell.
Oh, one of the best shows ever. But anyways, Zach, Mark Paul Gosselaar.
I had to look it up to make sure that was really him.
Yeah.
Like in it, because he's so hippy-dippy.
Well,
looking
you know, like that's his natural hair color. Like he
Is
was
it?
Never blonde. He said he had to dye his hair all the time just for that show.
Dude, I respect him, not from that show, but NYPD Blue, when he was on that, he was great. He was a really good actor.
You know what's so
that.
Funny about Mixed-ish with Mark Paul Gosselaar? You know who he dated the longest on Saved by the Bell? Lisa Turtle.
Did he?
Yeah, he dated her for like the longest out of all. Like they all kind of dated at some point.
Wait,
but they
you mean
dated
on the
for,
show?
No, in real life.
Oh, in real life.
They dated for years.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. This show is like, I have never, ever watched a show and related to the characters. I didn't realize that until I watched this show. Like the mixed experience that they're having, like in the 80s was like, this is my, me.
So his dad is a hippie. His mom was kind of a hippie. Yeah. And that's what they are in the show, right?
Yeah. Except his mom becomes a lawyer.
Okay.
But like it's, but then their kids were mixed and not really acknowledged as like, they didn't even know that they weren't going to be considered black until they go to school.
Right.
And they're having to deal with all these different issues about whether it's about their hair or whatever. And I'm watching this show and they're doing like a little, like on the show Blackish, how they do little, like history of, oh, black people always found this. They're doing it the same thing.
Oh, okay.
But with a lot of times with mixed people.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this and I'm like, this is the most important show my family could watch right now.
I love that.
And though my wife says, that, but it's every episode she's cried at the end of it.
Aww.
Because she's like heartbreak that her children have to go through this.
Ah,
kind of.
Gotcha.
Except my son, he's pretty white.
Like his credit's
he's
gonna
never
be
gonna have to go through this. Like, and the thing is, nobody has to now. Like,
right.
Being mixed is no big deal now. I mean, it's Seattle, I guess.
At the same time, though, there's like, I mean, every superstar in the world now, I mean, like basketball-wise is like.
Well, that's what they point out. Like, they had no one to look up to then.
True.
Though. Like, we didn't have anybody. And it was just, there's nobody representing us. And I'm like, I'm watching this show, like, kind of giddy.
Yeah.
And every time something happens, going like, Gretchen! Come listen, watch this. This is what I've been talking about. Like I was like, oh, is this how black people feel when a black show finally came on? Like, is this how women felt when Sex and the City came on? Like, is this my show,
dude?
This is my Sex and the City.
To see like Jack watch that and like see if he.
Oh, I should ask him. Yeah, he's watching.
He should like watch it.
Here's my only complaint about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Is not even really about the show itself. Is that. The actor that the female actor, also known as an actress in some circles. I don't know.
Yeah.
Still say that.
Yeah.
The one in Mixed-ish
mm-hmm.
is very, very dark skinned.
Mm.
And when the mom appeared in Black-ish was a different actor because it was older, like grandma.
And she was light.
She's very light.
Yeah.
So they darkened her up like, they hired a darker actor to get so that they were clearly more of a mixed couple.
Right.
Like black and a white guy, you know, black woman, white guy.
Gotcha.
Instead of a like a someone who's probably mixed and a white guy. Like, so I don't know how to feel about that. I was like, you called up the reverse Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch
Fresh Prince?
Fresh Prince.
It might have been before your time, too.
I have seen several episodes of Fresh Prince.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's the black mom on Fresh Prince, and then there's the light skinned mom on like Fresh Prince because mm-hmm. they switched actors.
Yeah.
There was
a falling out.
There was a falling out with Will Smith and the first Aunt Viv.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aunt Viv got a lot lighter, which it's like, huh?
Ratings went up.
I don't know if that was. I always wondered if that was just like, oh, we're just going to not try to cast someone that looks like the other one.
It's interesting.
We'll go in opposite direction.
I do like that they chose a darker actress for a Mixed-ish. I will say though that it's like
it's inconsistent though.
It's inconsistent and it kind of messes with your like it's hard to watch something like I guess even like when you go back to the Matrix and they changed the Oracle, you know, they tried to give you an explanation for why it was a different Oracle, but you know, you're just like, that's not the Oracle.
Oh, you couldn't get the actor right.
Yeah. Well, no, she passed away before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before the end of it. So,
did they go a completely different direction?
Completely different actress. And then she said, I don't look the same. And, you know, I can't tell you you won't understand the reasons what I had to make the choices that I had to make in order to, you know, now I look different because of that. And you're like, okay. They tried to explain it.
Because it's not acknowledge it.
Yeah. But I think that they wanted to make everybody realize that it's still the same Oracle, but she, you know, whatever.
Star Wars fan?
Yes.
Well, okay. Coming from, I want you as an actor, a thespian of the arts. What do you think? I get yelled at for this suggestion. Princess Leia passes away, right?
Mm-hmm.
They still had a story to tell.
I think it's General Leia now, actually.
Thank you for the clarity. See, Silas.
She's always a princess. Princess General Leia. She passes away. Mm-hmm. The actress, right? Carrie Fisher dies.
Mm-hmm.
I say, just recast her and put someone else in the role so we can finish the story of Leia
the way it was supposed to be told.
The way it was supposed to be told and not change it. Like, why can't we? Other shows don't. Do you think what if Back to the Future had that? If Back to the Future,
Jennifer, like
somebody
different.
Died.
Well, I
would
mean,
they have recast?
They if did. They Doc, recasted like if, two different.
If Doc died, you weren't going to like.
Not have Doc.
Not have Doc. They would have recast Doc and just pretend. Let's just pretend, point. Right? That's what I feel like. Like, why not finish the story? But everyone else says, "Oh no, it's too iconic. You can't change it." Well, what do you think?
Okay,
because
yeah,
I think as an
piece.
Actor, you can just put in another actor.
On that sort of level, yes, you can absolutely get somebody in there because we have lots of evidence in other films that this is just what happens when you know you have a story that you want to finish and the actor. Passes away.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as the iconic part of it, I think that it would, I think that you could do it. As a Doctor Who fan, we lost, you know, David Tennant was my favorite doctor. They right. wrote him out.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us Matt Smith, and I really was ready to hate Matt Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved Matt Smith. So with that said,
but Doctor, don't they have a tradition of switching doctors? Though?
They do, but it doesn't make it any easier. Oh. And especially like when you first get into it and you have like your first doctor.
Right.
So, I mean, coming from like my Doctor Who nerdy background, I would say like, obviously, yes. But I think that you need really great writers
totally.
To make that happen because you are dealing with an iconic character. And it would be a shame if they tried to do that, but were not thoughtful in how they were going to carry this legacy, which... You know, Carrie Fisher did a great job building up this legacy and to pass right. on that torch. You know, it shouldn't be somebody's first rodeo in the writer's room.
I agree.
Well, I mean, here's what I think is funny, though. Yeah. We say, oh, Carrie Fisher built up this. Oh, she built this all these years, 30 years. You mean three movies?
Yeah, three movies.
That was it. Three movies that we act like it's like she's been in 100 films. Like there was three movies of Princess Leia.
Wait. Wasn't there five?
Well, there were six, but she was played by a different. No, she wasn't. No, she was. That was her mom. No, there's just three films: Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back,
and then the seven and eight.
Well, seven and eight. Okay.
Yeah. So five of them. So it's like, how do you pass on? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, five movies, but it's like you said, 30 years of history between this person. Here's what I think you do.
It should have had a crash and then come
that's
out.
That's what I was going to say. Just,
oh, my
oh, her face was, yeah.
Oh, it was my disfigured face.
Yeah, and then just literally put a mask on her like Kylo Ren and then, you know, like solve the rest
oh,
of it.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
She becomes Darth Vader.
Yeah. You know, like
Lady Vader.
Lady Vader, but a good one.
Wow.
But I will say, I mean, it's so tough because it's like you saw what they did with General Tarkin and he kind of looked like shit because they weren't there yet with the animation. You know, like when you go back in Rogue One, it just wasn't quite there.
Mm-hmm.
But well, the way that they did, like here's Gemini Man, like how
oh fucking, it's awful.
It looked
no, it's awful.
Awful. It
it's
didn't
awful.
Look good at
it's
all.
It's horrible. Ugh. They do a different thing, I guess, than they did with the Tarkin thing.
Okay.
They do the motion capture.
Okay.
Which is a bunch of dots over the face.
Well, you do mocap,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I guess, and I don't know if you know the technology behind it, but if we were to, you know, find somebody with a similar face,
wait, you do
Leia,
mocap? Okay.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So if they were to do the similar, like find a similar build of like Leia's like structure and then have the like dots around it, could they transpose a face on hers? And
as far as transposing a face, I have no idea, but you don't even need somebody of the same shape
oh, okay.
because the dots, I mean, it's just you put it on and you can move like that person and then you can put
oh, okay.
like the character onto the mocap actor, yeah, essentially. Okay.
Well, damn. He looks like a video game at times. Like, the more light that is in the scene, the worse it looks.
Yeah.
But there was only, there was a couple of times I was like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time I was like, oh, this is...
Somebody said, well, that...
You're not supposed to, apparently, nowhere in the U.S. can play the film as it was meant to see.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So what, was it supposed to be like 8K or something like that? Or
something like that. It's like, yeah, how many frames per second and in 3D is how you're supposed to see
it. Supposed to see it.
But there's no theater in the U.S. that has the combination of the frame rate and the 3D at the same time.
That's curious who thought that was a good idea.
And the director. The director. Right. He thought he would push it and like...
It's just nobody said, time,
hey,
right?
nobody yeah. can do it. I guess they can do it in China. So in China,
all right,
there you go.
You can see the film, so maybe it's better in that way.
And it's probably making a ton of money in China right now.
No, it's bombing. The really? Film is bombing because it's not.
I thought it was just U.S.
It's not a good movie. Not a great movie. It was a good movie in 1990.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
If it was 1990, just be like, hey, this is okay. But it's not 1990.
Yeah, good call.
Unfortunately, for them.
What did you think of that?
That's what I think about it.
Oh, okay.
That it would have been a good film in 1990.
No, I mean the trailer. Of-
oh, okay. Oh, so the, now we can. We need
a sound effect to drop somebody. Here.
Nerd news. What is that? What is that? Then I have to find where it is in the when I edit. Star Wars trailer. Did you see it?
I've not seen it.
Not see it. Okay. Well, don't watch it. Don't just go see the movie. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I can't control myself. I have problems.
It came on.
It came on.
Monday I wish Night I had a video camera on me watching it.
We should have had the first reaction.
Out. I did flip out.
Did you? Did you stand up and?
No, I bled, but I gasped.
Yeah.
I started tearing up.
There's just so much to it. And I love that. Who's the director for this one? This is, what's the name from Star Trek?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
our guy, J.J. Abrams.
J.J.
I wish that J.J. had stuck with directing this from start to finish, like from 7, 8, and 9. Mm-hmm. But I do love that. Everything he wanted to do in 9 is make sure that everything's wrapped up. There's no unanswered questions. And, you know, it seems like through this trailer, I think we're going to get what we hopefully asked for.
Yeah. It was so good. I wanted to say that I would not watch it. And I've seen it twice now because they aired it twice on stations I was watching. I would like to tell myself I will not see it again. Until, because that way I don't remember things until I actually see it. But I know I'm going to go to, the problem is I'm going to go to a movie and they're going to be playing it. And so I'm going to watch it and get giddy and cry. And then not like the movie as much that I'm there to see because I was like, the trailer for Star Wars was better. And I bought tickets. Did you get your tickets?
No.
What?
I don't know why. I was just going to wait.
You're not going to see it?
No, I'm going to see it. I mean.
Like what month? Then
there are still open like seats all over the place.
You might want to buy those tickets soon, my friend.
I mean, and they're free.
They were, huh?
They're free with our AMC pass.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have that, right?
Yeah.
So I already went when I went and realized it was like online.
Mm-hmm.
All these seats were already taken.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's like there's an 8 o'clock that's still open at AMC and a 6:45 like PM.
Yeah. Oh, now it's gone. They just listened. They were like, oh, there aren't. Let me go. I had to get on.
How many did you get?
Seats?
Oh, you just got one for you.
No, and for my daughter.
Oh, okay.
Opening night. Yeah, we got two seats. And then, but I actually also ordered them at a different theater. Because for some, like when I went to try to use my AMC thing, because I was like, what if it's on right now? And it wasn't there. I was like, okay, it's going to be after the trailer. But then I checked Fandango and saw they were available. They had said they were available somewhere else. And I'm like, what? Well, why is it in? I was like, are they holding it because of the? And so I went and bought two tickets.
Yeah.
And then finally they freed up and I'm like, well, okay, I'll get these ones. And so I'm like, I think the first ones I got were actually for Friday night. So okay. I'm
going to do the Thursday.
I'm going to go Thursday. And then,
so question for you. Sierra's not going to listen to this, right?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Okay.
She started threatening to watch, listen to my podcast.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh. I was like, you might not like what you hear.
So if reviewer John is like, hey, man, I got a 2-week early review for this. You want to go with me?
Oh, I would never go on my own to watch that without my precious daughter. When I take the time off to see Star Wars a few days before everyone else. Oh, of course not. I would never do that to my daughter.
Such
in a heartbeat. I'm on record.
Would you do it? Get an early preview of
if you could.
I mean, certainly.
Well,
but
why wouldn't you?
You have nobody to disappoint. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
man.
My only problem is I have babies that I wouldn't have to have watched. Right.
Yeah,
so I can't just. I can't just leave. And last time I saw something big was during the day.
You know what's interesting? So, I feel like even if Star Wars got leaked on pirate, like, and it was like the perfect, like almost DVD version, I wouldn't watch it. I'd go to the movie theater
first.
No, I
want to see it on big screen.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I am.
No, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Even if someone told me this is perfect, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm like, No. It's going to be something right in the middle.
Exactly.
Or what if they recut it?
What if they
recut it?
Oh.
What if they cut it and you didn't know?
Right.
They cut out like a crucial scene. Son of a bitch. Speaking of Zack Snyder, there's a big push right now.
For his cut.
Ooh. Of it.
Of Justice.
Did you know Martian Manhunter was supposed to be in the film?
Yeah, it was crazy.
But they cut the entire scene out that reveals who he is.
Really?
And like, yeah, apparently
he was supposed to be the general.
The general?
Yeah.
That was an office. Maybe.
Or whatever his name was. Did you ever see the movie Five Heartbeats?
No.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
That's a classic black movie that you need to watch.
Classic black movie?
Yeah, yeah. It's like Temptations, but it's not Temptations.
The Five Heartbeats?
The Five Heartbeats.
Are you sure that's the name of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to double check this.
Okay. I'm pretty sure.
The Heartbeats. Okay. That was a different name.
But anyways, he played one of the singers in it, and he was the general in Superman, not like General Zod or anything, but he basically they were saying that he was supposed to be Martian Manhunter.
But apparently there's a lot of stuff, and there's a big, like, a lot of the actors in the film have said they should release the director's cut.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his intent was taken out of it, and that it would be a much better film. So
Justice League.
I mean, it's all up to W.
And he left because his daughter, like, had
his son died.
I thought his daughter committed suicide or something like that. Or
One of them.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, he had some tragic life, you know, stuff happen. And, you know, I think it's hard for anybody to jump in. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the Richard Donner. You probably don't. The Richard Donner versions of Superman. But, like, he had literally shot, like, two movies back to back. And, like, as soon as they fired Richard Donner, somebody else came in and tried to finish it, and that's why, like, Superman 2
and they redid scenes to change the tone.
Right.
Yeah, I actually, so you can buy two versions of it. Well, mostly available now is the Richard Donner version, which I had never seen, and I bought it.
Yeah.
So my daughter could see Superman, Superman 2, and I'm watching it, and I was like, oh, this will be cool. It's the director's cut. Oh, I didn't know anything about it, and I'm watching it. And I was like, what the fuck is this? This is not the film I grew up on. Yeah. I'm telling my daughter, no, seriously, it's a better, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
No, there's a better film out there.
It was like weird, right?
It was really weird. Because some things were like, oh, this was just like the test shot that they did at some point.
Whoa.
And then it was like the ending from one ended up being the ending to part two. Like,
yeah.
He spun it again, spun the world back. And it was weird.
And so I'm like, it's a better film. Oh, yeah. Now she's like, I don't trust you with this Superman shit, Dad. Okay. I think this is nerd news.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's a UK company is building some robots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are taking submissions for people to be the face of the robot, like the model face. So, like, you would be there'd be 1,000 of your face.
That's crazy.
If they select you and you submit the licensing on it, you would get $129,000.
Wow.
So for $129,000, would you be willing to license your face on the robot?
I mean, like, yes, but there's always this part of me is like, nobody wants to, like UK, they probably don't want a black face, like, showing up to their house.
They might white you.
Maybe.
Might be white versions.
But yeah, for $129.
They better not be black. They better not. Seriously, they better not be black androids because they're going to put them to work.
Yeah. Oh, they good call.
You know what? They're going to put them to work. They're going to be like that Star Trek episode where the holodeck, where they made the doctor was the, they're all mining. All the photon holographic hilarious. Doctors are all miners. So it's his face. They're all just like, hologram slaves. God. Yeah, I'm not gonna. No, yeah, they better not be a black dude.
Good call.
I'll have to widen you out. Would you would you license your image?
I feel like for $129,000, I don't think that's enough. Honestly, no. Like forever in perpetuity. Like you can just have my face. Call. Forget that. Yeah, that's I'm like, I want to see your contract.
Yeah, I mean, like, give me like $5 per face or something like that.
Yeah, I want a royalty on it or something.
Here's the thing. These are going to become sentient at some point, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to destroy the world.
Yeah.
Imagine that's your face, right? That turns on humanity.
Have you guys seen those like robots that just like, it's like a tiger thing that like, or not like a tiger, but it like, it's like a deer and it like walks through the like forest and doesn't fall over. It's the creepiest. And then there's a robot that can do backflips. You seen this? It's the creepiest thing. Mm.
I've actually heard the hardest thing, the thing that's slowed down about androids being around is actually just walking.
Balance.
Walking with two legs is actually an incredibly hard thing for a robot to do.
Wow.
And that's been what's held it back is that they can't. They've. Yeah. So I think $129,000
though.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot, but it's not a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, here's the thing. Someone else pointed out they would take it in a heartbeat because they could commit any crime they ever wanted to for the rest of their life because they will have reasonable doubt. I think it was a robot. It wasn't me. It was one of those androids walking around. It wasn't me. Like, oh, shoot. It might be a robot. So
it's so interesting. I'm not as much like afraid of like licensing out my face as I am like genitals or something.
Why you know what license your genitals?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they were like, could you license everything? I'm like, nah, I'm kidding.
No.
Nah. I don't know why. I don't know. That would probably bother me more than, I don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe they would.
Would you?
My genitals?
Yeah. Why?
That's not in my consideration. I don't think I'm in the running. I don't think I'm in the running there.
They're like, Mr. Littlesley, would you license your ass.
I want to see the advertisement for that. Would you like to? Looking to license people's. They would go for porn stars.
They do that for porn stars, I think.
All right, I'm saying that's what they would do. License goals or something.
Well, did you guys ever see that really crappy movie? I didn't think it was crappy. Everybody else thought it was crappy. The one with the kid from The Sixth Sense, where he's like an android.
Oh yeah.
Oh God, it's gonna bother me. I'm just forgetting all the AI. names. I thought it was a good movie.
Oh, I liked it.
Did you see that?
It's been a while,
yeah. And it's like, but they had all kind of different like bots. I mean, they had the bots for like
The love bots.
Love bots.
Wasn't Jude Law a love bot?
Yeah, Jude Law was a love bot, and he was like, oh, you're crying, and it was a blood drought, you remember? She was dead.
Oh.
And then he got accused, and so
that's right.
Chris Rock was a robot.
Yeah.
He got like killed.
Comedy bot.
Yeah, he got killed in the like when they were having the like war, not the war, but the like destruction derby thing.
What's the difference between androids and robots?
Pretty much.
Androids love to say, "I take care of my robots." You're supposed to take care of your robot.
It's so stupid. Oh,
all right, that's nerd news for you. Haunted houses? Do you do haunted houses?
Not really, just because like I'm partially like in tune with that stuff and I feel like it affects me differently. I don't want to get possessed.
Even if they're fake?
Oh yeah, like haunted houses, but not like haunted like a sane asylum.
Oh, not a real haunted.
Yeah.
Do you do haunted houses?
I do, yeah.
Yeah? Have you done one recently?
Not recently. I'm planning to go to the Georgetown Morgue on Sunday, I think is the plan.
Okay. Ooh, is that the one with the big dragon hanging out the top of it, or
I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
Georgetown.
Yeah, I did that one last year. It was a lot of fun. It was like crazy. Like my father-in-law, like 65 years old, was the only like confident person. Like he was leading the group. He was like, "It's like I've been in like Vietnam." He's like, "Fuck this, I'm not afraid." You know what I mean? And the rest of us were like, "Oh shit, people jumping out with chainsaws." I'm like, "Oh, it's insane." But
there's one up in Shoreline.
Yeah,
My daughter. Someone was doing a birthday party there. My daughter wouldn't do it. She wouldn't go through it. She's scared
because
Well, she hurt her ankle too, and she was told that people run with, like, chase you with a chainsaw. She was freaked out about it. bunch of the friends that went in, they didn't make it through all the way because they got too scared and they left. I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to go by myself. Yeah. And it was also $22. And I was like, whoa. I mean, granted, I did find out it's a long, like it's a 30-minute thing right. if you do the whole thing.
As an actor, how much do you think you get for that?
Oh, not a lot.
I could figure that out for you because my partner's at the Georgetown Morgue as one of the actors. And then also somebody I went to high school with is also at the Georgetown Morgue randomly. So, I mean, I've never asked, but I can certainly find out.
Yeah. Only like 50
Let us
bucks.
Know. We'll leave it in the comments.
It's only like $50. Or
I think it's an hourly wage instead of a stipend.
Sweet.
That's worse.
Well, I mean, if you think about it and you do it for, what?
5 hours?
5 hours, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
$50? Well,
acting wages? No, I don't know.
The problem is once you start doing, some, I'm not saying it's not real acting.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Sure.
But
character acting, right?
Other acting gigs that you get are paid a lot better.
Yeah.
So
totally.
It's hard.
But if you're,
was a time I would have taken that kind of like, sure. No, but now I'm like, no, it's like dinner train money. I'm not doing that. there's a haunted house that has a 40-page waiver to sign.
What?
Wow.
Because it's so scary and you have to get medical clearance to actually do it.
So that you don't get a heart attack?
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's crazy.
Like, just the sound of that? Does that sound like...
That doesn't sound appealing to me. Like, oh, I'm going to risk death to go through this shit? No.
I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, like...
I had to write down where it was, but it was like an article that I saw.
Are you like a horror fan of like...
For jump scares, I don't really jump.
Yeah.
So I can have somebody jump out at me and not, you know, run screaming.
Stare at them and you're like,
yeah.
You know, I
like, I will bury you.
Mostly that's my MO. I was like, no, actually, thank you. Turn around. You're done.
Do you have any favorite scary movies?
Okay, so I will say that I grew up watching horror movies as a kid.
Oh, no joke. Okay.
And I can name you, I think there was only 3 horror movies that ever actually frightened me that I watched, like 10 and under.
Okay.
So the first one that I can remember like being legitimately afraid is like a werewolf movie called Silver Bullet.
Okay.
I imagine it has to be like an 80s thing, but it's like the kids. Oh, there's totally. Like kids involved. And I think that that's maybe what it was, is that it wasn't like adults running away from vampires. It's like children.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, 5.
Yeah.
I don't know who was letting me pick these Hollywood.
My dad used to let us watch crazy shit like that. And I was why? Why would you let us watch Poltergeist?
You know.
Like 7. Yeah. It's crazy. No, I think I was like 4 or 5. Yeah.
Poltergeist didn't bother me.
Poltergeist like scared the hell out of me because I had a tree right outside my window. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I
was that's like, the worst. Yeah.
Oh.
So.
I lived in a forest.
I did. Oh my god!
I lived in a cabin. On Mount Lassen in the woods that we didn't have electricity for a while. Like it was a generator, but like I had to go outside to get firewood.
That is
all
scary.
The time. Yeah,
and you watched.
Oh yeah, shit! Yeah. Like Poltergeist and reading The Shining and stuff. Like I was terrified all the time. Like at night, like I hate like I'd run outside and get it. I was afraid to go into the kitchen like at night. I
was
like,
set you up for success.
Oh no. I went. That's why I hate horror films now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't hate them. I like try to watch them.
I mean,
but I'm like,
it's weird. Like we've only reviewed like a few movies and they've all been horror movies for some reason, which is
But it's Jordan Keele's.
Yeah. And then what else?
Do a normal
Michael
movie.
Myers or something like
that.
Yeah.
It was a Halloween. People would watch. I don't
know. Something else.
We'll watch some black.
We'll do
movies.
Frozen or something too.
Do Tubman,
Harriet Tubman, the action
That's
hero.
That's right.
Oh man,
we should be more like it should be black films. I mean, it's black and a half, so
yeah,
we should be talking
go.
About black stuff.
There you go, or half films.
A voice for the diversified.
Yeah, the black nerds. Yeah,
yeah.
Thomas Tubman nerds. Thomas Nichols said he hates the word blurred. He was like, call me up when you guys have a better word. Until then, say black nerd. And it's like, no, I like blurreds. It's good. It's a good drink.
Well, it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
out there. I mean, some people don't say that. Well, it's not the name of the show.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was just talking to me like somebody. It was on a comment on his Facebook thing. He was just talking. Somebody said blurreds. He was like, I'm tired of the word blurreds.
Oh, so, well, yeah. I mean, you can. Mm-hmm. Amos Mack doesn't believe in it.
He also doesn't have 10 fingers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Count.
Lost his pinky. work accident. Talk to me when you have two pinkies.
Cocaine. Cocaine is just ate away. Too much cocaine just ate away his finger. He's like, I better cut this off. I'll tell people it was an accident. Okay. Hey, so what do you got going on? You got a couple shows coming up? Are you in a Halloween theme burlesque? You seem like you have 10 theme burlesque shows going on. Like,
I've got a lot going on right now. The fall for me typically is a lot more theater driven.
Okay.
Summer, lots of films. Winter and spring don't really have something where I can like pin down what it's going to be right now. Mm-hmm. But since we're in...
Wait, do you have a play going on then?
Yeah, I do.
A normal play.
Well, it's an immersive show.
So immersive.
You walk into...
Do you drown?
I hope not.
Okay.
I don't think I'd get many returning audience members if I was actually drowning them. No, but you walk into the upstairs of Theater Off Jackson, which was the old Wing Luke Museum area.
Oh, yeah.
And when you step in, it is transformed into an 1893 brothel. Ooh. And the story is what happened in Madame Lou Graham's parlor house. Mm-hmm. The theatrical side is on the eve of the first economic depression, which is why it's called Parlor House. Panic of 1893. Mm. So you have all of the prostitutes there, which were the Seattle seamstresses. Mm-hmm. You have the madam as a character. And then you have all of the city officials there and what they're talking about and how they were conducting business. You know, part history, a lot of pulled from that. And then a lot of stuff I just don't know. I wrote it. So I had to start, workshopping, figuring out what's working, what's not working. We did it last year. It was great. And this year I made some changes to the script, and we've been in rehearsals now for 7 weeks.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that's currently the big
thing. So immersive. So they walk in. So you just start acting when people are in there?
We start before we let people in. And then
so it's a brothel. So can people like hire a brotheler while they're waiting?
They can certainly. I mean, they can try. Obviously, we have.
What if a real prostitute shows up?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What if a real prostitute's in there?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny. Like, well, we're teaming up with SWAP, Sex Workers Outreach Program, to talk about bridging the gap between sex work then in 1893 and what that meant, and versus now, and some of the things like action items that are happening right now that are Seattle specific.
Man.
So that's going to be in the foyer, and we're partnering up, and I'm super, super excited that they said yes to this really crazy idea I had.
That's funny. I once got scolded on a group because I used the word prostitute.
Oh.
I said prostitute, and they said, that's not the correct word. It's anymore. Sex worker. I was like, I said, I thought prostitute was the nice word.
That's what I thought. Like back in the day, I mean, it's always evolving, right? I mean, things are always changing.
But sex worker... Isn't sex worker cover a whole lot of different things? I thought that was like, that can be pay for services. It can be in the film part, adult films. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sex work cover everything?
I'm not the representative of the term. Yeah. So I'd hate to say anything right now because somebody's listening like, she does not know what she's talking about. I'm not going to be that person, but I will say that the evolved normally sex worker is the term that is used currently.
Okay.
I use the term prostitute to talk about it in 1893,
which is what it was back then. Right?
Yeah.
Is it that old of a word?
I think prostitute was still probably being used in the 90s. Like, probably 1990s? No, 1990s.
When's this take place?
1893.
Right, and you use the term prostitute then.
Well, yes, mostly we use the seamstress, right? That there's a joke, obviously, because all of the, at the time, anybody who was in that profession all had to buy a seamstress license, and they paid, I think it was like $25 a month. Nobody like, hold that against me. Yeah, it's totally a lot of money. So there's like over 2,500 registered seamstresses in a 3-block area. I guarantee you.
A lot of fabric stores down there.
I bet you you're not going to find any sewing machines. That's all I'm saying. All still very good with their hands. Yeah. No sewing machines or sewing happening.
I feel like, should sex work be legal?
Yes.
I think so.
100%.
I think so.
I'm on that bandwagon.
Yeah, like I feel like there was some politician pushing for it to be legal.
There's a Jesse port Ventura. Commissioner in Seattle that's running on a platform that talks about... they're part of their speech right now. And I don't know a lot about them, but that's something that I've put a pin in to go look at later. Mm. They talked about as looking at the human trafficking to legalize sex work. There's a lot of politics involved on why that would help the situation.
I don't think it's an easy answer. There was a big West Wing discussion about it once because it was because they're like, well, wait, isn't this a, shouldn't it be a feminist issue? Shouldn't it be illegalized? And it was the women's rights group that was saying no, because it is by nature, you know, whatever. Anyway, I mean, granted, it was a show written by a man.
Right.
But it was interesting points that they made on both sides of it.
Okay.
That's what I always liked about West Wing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an easy answer, so I don't want anyone saying like, Silas, fuck you for saying that should be illegal.
You're banned
it's exploitive.
From Seattle.
I'd be like, no, I've always thought, I'm like, just there's a lot of things I think should be legal so that they can fine tax it. Or take away some of it, and you can get protections at least for some people.
Right.
You know, make it more like the Bunny Ranch.
Totally.
And then I don't have to fly anywhere.
There you go. But I do. I mean, I think that it would. I mean, maybe it would stop like human trafficking and, you know, some of these other
things.
You know,
stop
it. One of the things that I'll say is that because of the laws in place, you know, if somebody is talking to you about it, it's a crime. Like just to talk to somebody about the profession and like going into it or giving that information.
Really?
Like, you can't do it a career day. You can't come in.
No, it's not happening.
That's illegal.
Know, which I find
that's pretty crazy.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that as if you criminalize even talking about it as a profession, what that means is that people currently in that profession can't work together for safety. There's no safety numbers there, and it's creating a comparatively speaking, I mean, I look at 1893, I look at today I'm a lot less proficient or an expert in it. That's why I've teamed up with people who know what they're doing. But the biggest difference is that as you criminalize it to the extent that's happening now, there's a lot less safety. There's a lot more, you know, just harm in general. And they took down like Backpage because of Sesta Fosta, if you don't know. And there's been people aren't able to screen their clients the same way. They're not able to tell people what's happening.
Right.
In sort of like a legal, just a safety thing, you know, so it has to be very, you know, under the table, all sort of shadowy. You know what I mean?
It's not that just, this is on the same page, but I feel like there's a lot of people that try to do that. Like they even try to do that in the banking where like they'll be like, oh, you can't talk to your coworkers about how much you make. But it's like if we all talked about it, we'd know how much we're making.
And that's why they don't want you to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, then we could probably like team up and, you know, have equality across the board, right?
I mean, the only reason I remember asking for a raise back when I was working at an architecture firm, like when I told my, they were like apprentice architects, how much I was going to ask for. They're like, dude, you need to ask for more than that. I was like, really? Do you think? They're like, yeah, and they convinced me that I should, you know,
because
I was making like $12.21 an hour.
Right.
And they were like, no, you should make 17 at least.
Right.
So I went in and asked for 17 because of them.
And did you get it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Because they knew I was undervalued. I just had no idea because I was also from I moved up here from California making $7 an hour.
Right.
Oh. And then I got 10 an hour at the first job I got. And I thought I was like loaded.
Right.
And then I got there and I had no idea how much people really made. And I was like, $12.21. That's amazing.
It was crazy. Like when I made the jump from the bank I was at before to the bank I'm at now, they were like, oh, no, you get paid way more than that. I was like, holy shit. And when they showed me, I was like, oh, man, I was underpaid for so long.
Yeah. You don't know until you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like how we turned about, made the prostitution about us. We're used to being prostituted.
Yeah, I'm a hoe.
As a, whatever. Okay. So the Submersive Theater Program, when does that run?
That is, so, we received a grant, from the Seattle Office of Arts and Culture. So we open on November 26th as a pay what you can night. Very excited that we can offer that because
November 26th?
November 26th is the pay what you can night.
The day before Thanksgiving?
No. The Thanksgiving's on the 20th because it's my birthday.
The 20th?
The 28th is Thanksgiving.
Oh, 28th. I think 28th. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was about to shit
20th.
My pants because
I was like,
because oh, I was like, oh, no.
I was like, I think
no,
I have a show.
No.
Like, I was like, no.
So
okay, so 2 days before Thanksgiving.
The 26th. So that's our, you know, our it's technically billed as a preview night.
I feel
night.
Like that's a good time because I feel like a lot of people are like taking the week off. You know what I mean? And so where
like,
is the
honey,
show
we're
going
to go to a brothel tonight.
Yeah,
it's not a real brothel.
Yeah.
And then on the 27th, so my dad used to do karaoke here all around town. And one of the things he would always tell me is like, listen, I have to go work the day before Thanksgiving because that's when everyone gets drunk before they have to go see their family.
Yeah, you know,
some things just stay with you growing up. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to have a show on the 27th because all these people need somewhere to go.
No, they do. They do.
I mean, comedy used to be big, like the day before Thanksgiving, like Wednesdays, like at the parlor. A lot of people used to show up and like party all night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they're back home.
Yeah.
You know, wherever.
And then Thanksgiving, like we're closed. And then we're up Friday and Saturday. And we just do a short 4-day run. That's it. Then it closes and then
I like it.
And then that's, what's this thing, Holiday Horror Fest?
So totally brand new this year. So
December 5th through 8th at the Headwaters Theater
down in Portland.
We got some Portland listeners.
I met up with a director who was doing a film, Duchess the Xmas Killer, and it's a holiday horror film, essentially. His name is John Ryan. He's down there. He's one of the people putting this on. And I ended up getting cast in one of the roles. Her name's Elizabeth. So she's in the movie. And he ended up telling me somewhere before we started filming that this is something, the film was going to be part of this big new, like, holiday horror genre new festival happening that weekend. So, yeah, we did filming in September, and I will be seeing the film for the very first time on Thursday, December 5th, because I'll be driving down to Portland. And I hope my dates are...
So when it says holiday-inspired horror, so it's like kind of like Christmassy holiday?
Is it kind of like that Krampus movie? Did you see that? Where it was like... Everybody was there for the holidays, and then it was this like Christmas type evil Santa Claus.
I imagine so. There's a lot of different short films happening.
So there's 12 holiday inspired horror films from around the world. It's funny when we say the holidays. Are you gonna be around for the holidays? Like, you know, they don't mean 4th of July.
Right? Yeah.
The holidays? Yeah. Will you be back for the holidays?
Are you going to be back for Veterans Day? And all
that I love being with my family on Veterans Day. We can think about Grandpa.
There you go.
The war he fought in the segregated army.
Here for Flag Day and National Boss Day.
Awesome. Like, you got so much going on. You sent me a list of all the stuff you have going on. So we'll put that up. A big burlesque game show, Halloween edition.
Yeah.
Oh, this happened.
No, it's happened.
No, this already happened. So
yes, totally.
That was great. I tell you, I loved it.
Loved it. Best one we've ever done.
But they can check Holiday Strip Sing Along.
Yep.
September 14th.
December 14th.
December 14th. Yes. Okay. I said, okay. Then Saturday, December 28th, the big burlesque game show round one finale. Oh, wow.
There you go.
You know what? I love burlesque dancers' names.
Yeah, they always come up with some really good names.
Yeah. Like Daytime Whiskey. Mix Pucks and Plenty. Wait, what's your burlesque name?
I'm Vixen Valentine.
Vixen Valentine.
Yeah.
Double like feet. Yeah.
What I love it is when she's been on, trying to remember if I had the, I don't want to say her name. I don't think she's out.
No, that's
but,
right.
I had somebody named SC on Facebook was always SC Andal. And I never connected. I was like 2 years Scandal. Before like, I went Scandal.
Scandal from Bohemia?
Yeah.
Loved her. She was in the first Parlor House.
Nice. Oh, okay. Yeah. She's one of my good friends. We go way back.
We went to the last Tom Petty concert together before Tom Petty passed away.
Aww.
So we like got together, we were hanging out, and so that's one of our things where we're like, we really need like a Petty Pity pizza party
there
together.
Hell yeah.
Petty pizza party. I love it. Hey, oh well, we're about out of time here. Hey, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate this, getting to know Cassandra. We'll have all your links in there. But do you have one to give a quick what's your major thing? Instagram, Facebook, what do you do mostly?
How can our fans follow you?
Well, Instagram is really easy. It Miss Vixen Valentine.
Okay.
Or Vixen Valentine. I'd have to look. Facebook, really active on Facebook as well. Vixen Valentine there as well.
Okay.
You can also search me by my name. I guess we can put that up there just because Facebook page doesn't really like my Miss Vixen Valentine page. So like people cannot find it.
Really?
A lot.
Really?
I have to link it places.
Is it too naughty?
I can mark Zuckerberg.
No. I don't use it anymore. There's nothing on there because nobody ever sees anything. So I'm just like, whatever. But Instagram's really great right now.
Okay.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Check you out there. And
you got your big thing coming up. You're going to be hosting a...
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that. We mentioned that at the beginning of the show. Intro, right. Remember? But just as a reminder.
There you go.
Come check me out at the 48 Hour Horror Academy Awards. That's what I'm calling it.
There you go.
You know,
booyah.
I'm going to ask them to change the name just for me. Can you call them Academy Awards?
All right.
So Black and a Half?
Black and a Half. Live long and prosper.